Today's episode of the Gestalt Education Show is brought to you by three of our favorite sponsors, Human Locomotion, Core 360 Bell, and Dynamic Disc Designs. All the information can be found below. By now, you have definitely heard us talk about them, so check out the show notes, click the links, use the codes, and make sure you support our favorite people. As always, we got a great episode lined up for you today, and thanks for tuning in. All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Gestalt Education Show. Today we're doing a little Zoom meeting because as we just got done, you know, kind of talking about off air, our next guest does not exactly love the cold weather, and so here in St. Louis, we're experiencing a little bit of a cold spell, and so we decided the Zoom is just fine. So yeah. Today is going to be all about the things that we like to boohoo in the rehab world, and you know, our researchy world that we live in, Brett. That is the passive modality side, and this is something. Honestly, like I could just speak from my own experience. You know, we learned in school ultrasound, and we had a diathermy machine in our office. I mean, it was just insane. That in chiropractic school.
Oh yeah, that big old round thing.
Yeah. It was insane. Probably gave so many people cancer. realistically, and then you learn, you know, E-stem and ultrasound, like all this other crap. And I never felt like it worked. The research doesn't really say any of that stuff works that well. But and then it wasn't until I got here, and you know, we started using the class 4 laser, which we had decent results with. And then we kind of stumbled across the next guy, the laser guru, if you will, which is Jeff Gavette. Did I say your last name right? I didn't even ask you that. Gavette,
yes.
I love it. And so yes. Jeff is part of JAG Medical Solutions, and he basically helped place us with a laser and a shockwave and taught us exactly how the heck to use them so that we're getting just unbelievable results. And so Brett and I had to, you know, we continue to talk about how the combination of those two has really like turned some of these cases that we've been having such difficulty with, our tough tendinopathy cases, lateral epicondylitis, like little things like that. And so we thought that today would be a perfect time to maybe take the stigma off of passive modalities, number one, and then actually kind of learn like how we should be applying these together. And so Jeff is going to kind of help us through that whole situation.
Bro. Yeah, I remember I was given I think I was in Florida giving a talk, and we have a mutual friend in Ken Kaufman. And Ken was saying, I got done talking. He's like, do you know Jeff? And I'm like, no, I don't know Jeff. He goes, this guy knows more about shockwave and laser than anyone on planet Earth. And you know, Ken's tough to impress. And I was like, really? Right. I was like, well, actually I'm in the market for a new laser, and I would love to talk to him. So that's actually my intro to Jeff. And so anyways, yeah, I don't know where our jump off point is. Do we want to start
with? I think for me, honestly, Jeff, is let's just give a quick background on kind of how you got into selling these types of medical devices. One, and then two, can you maybe talk us through, let's maybe just start with the laser. I think that's a common one that most people are either have already in their office, or they're that's kind of maybe the jumping off point for a lot of people. Can we kind of just, I don't know, riff on photomodulation a little bit, and then like what it actually takes to get people, or how you place people with lasers? Cause I think that's another thing that I kind of want to talk to you about, is it's not just a one size fits all for every office and every practice. It's a little bit more of a, you know, trying on the dress, if you will.
Right. And I started in this 30 years ago. My uncle has a medical warehouse that's in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I told him that I would love to be a sales rep, and he told me that I could run his warehouse. So after about a year in the warehouse and meeting with all of the manufacturer reps that would come in every day and training and learning their products, that's what started me on this. I started with decompression traction. Actually, I was going into physical therapy offices, teaching on ultrasound, E-stem, fluidotherapy, diathermy, and then it went into decompression traction, laser therapy, shockwave, radio frequency, full body light beds. So pretty much everything light. I absolutely do not know everything there is to know about all of these products, but I am very adverse. I'm very skilled at going into a practice, seeing what they do and what they want to accomplish, and then helping them to transition into a product that is going to best suit their needs and their patients' needs. And kicking off laser therapy is very simple. I like to say that if you're in the class four spectrum, it is a very nice soothing warmth and should be instant pain relief, as well as increasing range of motion. And then you also have the low-level laser side, which is class three and class four, and then you get the hot laser. So we can pick that stuff apart if you want, but laser's a lot of fun. It's a modality that's very non-invasive and should produce immediate results. And then
Jeff
shockwave
said
is,
that he,
yeah, go
not to interrupt you, I sorry about that, but he said, he goes, well, are you getting like miracles with the laser? I'm like, this is our old laser. I'm like, no, not even close. And he's like, well, something's wrong. You know, like either you're not doing it right or you don't have the right laser. And that was like really eye-opening to me to like the results can be that good if you screen out the right case.
Yeah. It's after being in this for a long time, I started my company, and my company was designed just to go in and help doctors to consult with them about what product they want to actually implement into their practice and then make it uber successful, right? So it's one thing to for any doctor to be exposed to a piece of equipment. They go to a medical show. And they have all these sales reps telling them that this is the best piece of equipment that exists, and they buy it from the rep disappears, they don't know how to use it, they start calling the manufacturer like, how do I use it? And then nobody comes out to help them. And I like to say that at JAG Medical Solutions, we try to make sure that any piece of equipment that you purchase never collects dust. So how do we utilize it the best in your practice and get the best results? And go behind the Wizard of Oz box is what I like to say. Like, let's get behind the curtain. Let's skip what people have told you about the product, and then let's actually get to the facts of what the product is and what it can do.
And then what do you think are some of the big mistakes that are being made out there in the implementation of the class four laser? Like if people aren't getting great results, like we weren't originally, what are the reasons why people
I can't give you all of my secrets. No, I'm just
aren't?
kidding. A lot of times it's application. So understanding if we're just going to talk about the class four, but if we know the class four product, it's understanding what area I'm going to keep that treatment to. What speed of application am I going to use? Am I going to be on skin or off skin? Am I going to use pulsing or continuous wave? And for me personally, I'm not a fan of power. So I do not like when devices have higher power. I think it goes too quickly to a photothermal response. So I'm looking for more of the photochemical response and the long-term result of trying to relieve pain and decrease or increase range of motion, decrease pain, get the body to heal itself.
So,
Did that answer it the way
yeah.
you're
So,
thinking?
what are the different reasons for to be on the skin or not be on the skin?
Well, I like to tell people all the time, I like to stick to the FDA clearances. So the FDA clearances for class four are for pain, inflammation, muscle spasms, and arthritis. If I am using it for a particular condition, I just have to say, are we able to, is it pain, inflammation, muscle spasms, or arthritis related? So when somebody comes into me and says, hey, I want to treat my low back, I have low back, I just say, okay, do you have pain? Yes. Okay, then we can treat it. Some of the reasons to use it off skin would be if I was dealing with a skin related issue, if I was treating eczema, psoriasis, shingles, open wounds, things of that nature, I'm going to be off skin. Cold sores, it's amazing with. So those are going to be the things that we're going to be using it off skin.
Kind of just the obvious things then.
Pretty much. I mean, you can still, I mean, if I'm treating sinuses, I'm using it off skin. If I'm treating for headaches, I'm using it, like if I'm treating the frontal lobe or the temporal lobe, I'm using it off skin. So there are going to be some reasons to use it. But the reality is, well, the easiest way for me to talk to somebody is if I want to get depth of tissue, I need to be on skin. If I don't need to be as great a depth of tissue, then it's definitely easy to treat off skin. But I got to make sure that my depth of tissue is not going to be, that I'm actually going to be able to deliver photon energy or a dose to that specific target. Because going through skin is the toughest thing that you're going to have to do. And then when you pull it off skin, now you're dealing with reflection and trying to penetrate through skin.
What's a realistic depth of penetration then? Like, let's say you have a difficult like insertional hamstring or something like that. Like, what's a realistic depth that we can actually expect?
I think across the board, no matter who you, what PhD you would talk to, you're able to easily say 6 centimeters depth of tissue. I have had PhDs that I've talked to with certain companies that have said up to 10 centimeters depth of tissue. I've also had different doctors that I've spoken to that have said, light goes. So depending on your wavelength is going to determine your potential depth of tissue. And then what's blocking it from getting to that depth? But you can say easily 6 centimeters, and then some people will go a little bit further and say 10 centimeters.
I mean, if you would have seen us 2 years ago using the laser, it looked like a 5-year-old with a crayon basically doing this. So, what do you think is like one thing advice you gave us was like you want to move that thing really, really, really slow. And
Yes.
we kind of around here think that's one of the big difference makers in our results. So, can you explain the importance of like that part of the application?
Yeah, what ends up happening is okay, so misnomers, right? Oh, if I have more power, then I can deliver more photon energy faster. So a lot of people are upgrading to the more powerful devices that exist in the marketplace, when in reality, light is going to scatter. So I want to be able to go as slow as I can across the skin so that I can actually get depth of tissue. It's not about pressing because I don't need to press on it. It's about allowing the light to just lay on, or the fiber optic to lay on the skin tissue to allow that depth of tissue. But if you can think about it, if I'm moving it really, really fast, I'm not going to get as great a depth of tissue. So that's one of the main things when I walk into a practice and they have a laser. It's like, okay, I can help you to utilize this laser to a better degree. Like you can get the best you can out of it. Or if you're interested, we can talk about other products that might help you to get, the results that you're looking for. Because even when I spoke to you guys originally, you're like, oh yeah, we have a laser, we're getting results. And then it's like, okay, then let's try this, right? And then
Right.
it's like, okay, we can get better results. Because most people, they're not going to sit there and say, no, my laser is not any good. I'm not getting good results. They're going to say, yeah, I'm getting really good results. And then I say, all right, are you treating this? What is your result? What are you getting? I just was in an office in Huntsville installing a laser. And I said to them, we should expect an immediate response. That is absolutely anybody that you give me, from the stroke patients that we were treating to plantar fasciitis to arthritis, bursitis. We're dealing with a lot of hip bursitis treatment. So anything that we're treating, I should be able to, if it's dealing with pain and inflammation, I should have an immediate response.
There's kind of a stigma too, and it's probably inappropriate, but that, the laser works better with extremity conditions versus spine. Is that true, or do you think that it's just as effective in the spine? I know depth, we're back to depth, but have you had a lot of success treating disc herniations and things like that? Like, we really don't use the laser much for that, but we could be talked into it.
I always tell people I love spinal stenosis. I love when a patient says that I have spinal stenosis and I have all of these issues. Like let me get the laser, or let me apply it, and let me have you tell me how it feels. But remember that all cells are going to absorb light. it doesn't have an option of saying, oh, I'm not going to absorb light. Now it's a matter of what wavelength is going to give me the depth of tissue that I need to get to. And then what dose is going to give me that cellular response? Again, remember, we're looking for a photochemical response. It's called photobiomodulation. Photo meaning light, bio meaning life, modulation meaning change. If I can stimulate that cell response so it can absorb light, I like to say all the time, every plant that lives or is outside lives through what?
Sorry.
Photosynthesis, mm-hmm. right? So it's absorbing light to live. We're absorbing light to restore, right? We don't like to use the word heal or cure. We like to use the word restore because we are allowing that cell to restore itself. So it is going to absorb light. It's going to start the ATP process, right? We're going to get adenosine triphosphate. And then that is going to allow that cascading effect to treat all kinds of other things within the body. But it's going to give us that photochemical response. There is nothing, even from treating tinnitus today, that there is zero that I haven't treated. I actually got a really bad sinus infection and I got full Bell's palsy on the left side of my face. And 8 days later, it was completely gone. So there's nothing that I don't put light on.
Do you think that everyone can kind of trust the protocols and settings that are in the machine already? Or do you feel like you're always kind of like modifying those?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of different manufacturers' protocols that are inside of the laser. It is going to be 100% it is going to be a depth of tissue and not condition. So all we have to understand is that what depth of tissue do I need to get to? And then what wavelengths do I have to get to it? Right. So if somebody was sitting there telling me that I need to get a greater depth of tissue, and then they're telling me that they, you know, I have this particular wavelength or I have that particular wavelength, I'd be like, okay, now I know why you're not having success with the low back. Mm-hmm. Because you're not able to get enough depth of tissue, one, because of your wavelength. And then number two, you don't even have the power to actually deliver a dose depth of tissue.
Got it.
And I say that because there are, I am absolutely a fan of the low level laser product too. So when somebody says low level laser, that is class 3 and class 4. There's just a difference between the power output and what the patient feels. I mean, we can dig into a whole bunch of stuff in that. We can open up a can of worms, but I like the products. I mean, right now, today, we're talking about class 4, but there's a lot of reasons and things to do with different products.
Right. Yeah. I think that comes back to tailoring it to
but
the
as far as,
practice. Yeah. Go ahead.
And as far as, like I said, as far as any area of the body, there's nothing that I wouldn't try to use the, you know, that I wouldn't use the laser on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
More than I haven't used.
Besides like the tinnitus, that's a good one. What are some other ones that would probably just shock our listeners that you don't really think of? Obviously, I think sinuses would be another one probably. Is there any other ones that you're like, wow, it works really, really good for this?
Mastitis, pelvic floor pain, endometriosis, erectile dysfunction, clitoral stimulation, hemorrhoids, bladder, incontinence, prostate. I mean, anything that you're dealing with a cell or a organ or anything that needs to heal, light obviously will allow. And again, I want to make sure that I'm staying within the FDA.
know, disclaimer, pain, disclaimer, disclaimer.
Pain, yeah. Pain, inflammation, muscle spasms, and arthritis. As long as it's dealing with that, I can treat this. But I've traveled with pelvic floor therapists. I mean, bladder is a huge one, especially with females. And a lot of different pelvic floor issues, especially after having children. Mastitis, one treatment gone. 5
What
minutes.
about anything for concussion?
We actually have a bunch with TBI, so traumatic brain injury. We have a lot.
So, I mean, in that example, is it as simple just applying the laser over the skull? I mean, is it literally that simple, or is there more to all this?
There's more to it just solely because the hair absorbs more than any other. There's a reason why they have lasers that remove tattoo and remove hair. So when you are getting anywhere near the hairline, and you just have to know what you're doing, and then you just have to know what points we're actually going to apply the laser, because it's not just, oh, let me just put this over your head and everything's going to be gone. There's very specific, you're going to use it for a certain amount of time in all these different spots.
But you can put it directly on the hair. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to be off the hair. Okay.
Fair.
Nice. Very good.
One of the things that goes back
Yeah.
to a lot of times we're talking about the laser, and a lot of our audience along with us is like, we're not using the laser as an ancillary treatment or a single one-off treatment, maybe as much as some other people. But I think combining it with multiple things is kind of that's the gold standard, right? That's where we're getting our best results personally. And so I think that maybe would be our next jumping off point into the shockwave. And that's
Hang
something.
on one sec though. Let's do dosage on
Okay.
laser. So, like if somebody comes in with, I don't know, a tendonitis or tendinosis or a spinal complaint, what do you recommend like that the protocol actually looks like? So, are we seeing them twice a week, 3 times a week, every day? I mean, we have what we're doing here, but I'm curious to know like what you typically recommend for that. We're
Across the
talking laser
board,
here.
across the board with laser therapy, it is absolutely crucial to see them 3 times the first week. So I coach my offices, if we're going to start a new patient on laser, we start on Monday or on Tuesday, so that if I start on Monday, I treat them again within 24 hours, I treat them on Tuesday, and then I treat them again on Thursday. If I start on Tuesday, I treat on Wednesday, and then I treat again on Friday. So it's paramount to treat them, especially in that first 24 hours, because they're going to use the photon energy the fastest. The cell is going to say, hey, you just fed me. So I want, I'm going to use that energy. So that first 24 hours is very crucial. And it also helps if there's going to be any patients that would have like an exacerbation. So if I can treat them 2 times within 24 hours, it gets rid of any potential, which is only 14% anyways, but it gets rid of any potential for exacerbating the recovery. You can do it 2 times a week. I always just say that there's always good, better, best. Best case scenario is 3 times that first week following that protocol, 2 times the second week, and then 1 time the third week. For most of your muscle skeletal stuff, it's a 6-treatment protocol. And so it's very, very quick. And then you can get into, I mean, if you start to get into cancer-induced neuropathy, pelvic, I mean, if you get into diabetic neuropathy, if you get into fibromyalgia, if you get into shingles, things like that, then you are going to be looking at 10 to 12 treatments.
Oh, that's perfect.
Cool.
And then how much education do you recommend that like we're giving to the athletes or patients? I mean, is it what are you saying to somebody? Like you need almost like the elevator speech, because you got people waiting for you in the next room. Like, what is like the thing that's kind of quick and easy to educate without over-educating?
Yeah, there's a two-part thing that I like to say to my practices that are using laser therapy is one is let me show you. Like, let me do the laser treatment. I'll give you the first treatment for free. If I can't decrease your pain and increase your range of motion right now, there's no reason for us to keep talking. So I'll have you do a range of motion. What's your pain scale? Let's go. I'll have you do another range of motion. When I turn the laser on, or when my practice turns, or any of my practices, or people that I'm coaching, I like to say I'm always looking for zero. That is what I'm looking for in any application of laser therapy. The second thing that makes it really easy, because again, keep it simple, silly. So how do plants survive? It's photosynthesis. They're absorbing light in order to live. We have a big photo word also. It's called photobiomodulation. Mm-hmm. We absorb light to restore. So our cells need light to restore. Otherwise, it would have already done it. So depending on the surgery or the injury or the trauma, whatever happened, the body would or should be able to heal itself or to recover itself. So if it's not, all we're doing is we're the jumper cables to get, you know, get things going again.
It's perfect.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay. So let's go with combining multiple different things. And so one of the big things that we've had success with is adding the shockwave this year, or I guess last year now, but in the last year, shockwave combined with laser has seemed to have produced some amazing results.
Mm-hmm.
And so could you maybe, because I know that the shockwave is hitting the market like crazy right now. It seems like every office in the country is getting a shockwave, and there's kind of two different schools of thoughts on the shockwave. Can you kind of educate us on those two, and kind of, again, like what are you leaning people towards as far as purchasing when it comes to shockwave?
Yeah. It's very simple for me when somebody's coming to me and, or I'm consulting with them and they're like, okay, why do I want a shockwave, or why do I want a laser, or why do I want this particular product? Shockwave to me is very simple and easy. If you're dealing with calcification, adhesions, or scar tissue, I am absolutely grabbing a shockwave. And if somebody said to me, you're gonna get $1 million if you can, you know, get rid of my calcification, adhesions, or scar tissue, I'm gonna collect $1 million by the third week, because there is plenty of documented evidence to show, like, frozen shoulder, 3 treatments, it's completely gone. So what are you trying to treat? And then here's what you want to do. I mean, a lot of people know shockwave because it's become famous because of erectile dysfunction. It is also FDA approved for erectile dysfunction and for plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
It's an FDA cleared device, but they have 2 approvals for those particular applications. But as far as your muscle skeletal, it's going to be anything that's dealing with adhesions and scar tissue and calcification.
And then, I mean, frozen shoulders. Oh, I was just going to say, frozen shoulders is an interesting example, because, like, if you have like a lat epicondylitis, I mean, we have the obvious spot that's obviously an irritant. Frozen shoulder is a little bit different because we have more diffuse pain. So how do you decide? I mean, is it just literally circle the dragon with the thing, or is it like, or is there like certain areas you're hitting? What are you looking for to know where to put it, like in frozen shoulder, for example?
Well, with frozen shoulder, if we know the shoulder compartment, right? So it's not very difficult to know where I need to go in the front, in the side, and in the back in order to break up the calcification. What I love about it is it doesn't take me very long to figure out exactly where your scar tissue, adhesion, and calcification is. I said earlier when we started, I love laser because it's a very non-invasive. The patient feels a nice soothing warmth. It's like we're at a med spa and everything's like hunky-dory. And you're like, oh my gosh, this feels so good. Shockwave is 4 minutes, 3,000 pulses, and I would love to see you sweat. Like, it's it is absolutely, I want to, shockwave is based off of frequency or hertz, and then your bar, what we call pressure. So the amount of pressure that's the radial wave that's going down into the tissue to break up the scar tissue, adhesions, calcification, that type of stuff. It's that pressure that's going down. So you can control the pressure, and then you can control the frequency. But ultimately, I've got to get to a particular point in order for it to have the success from all the research. You need to hit a certain bar in order to achieve that. And to achieve that, it doesn't necessarily feel great for the 4 minutes. And I like to say that I'll know exactly where your problem is. If you tell me, I don't even need you to tell me anything. I just need you to tell me, hey, my shoulder hurts. And then from there, I can start using the shockwave. And then I don't know if your listeners are going to like this or not, but I like to say, as soon as I see the bitter beer face, I know that that's the spot that I need to stay on.
Right. And we've had this conversation a lot in that it almost becomes a diagnostic tool.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I was kind of teeing you up on the frozen shoulder question a little bit, but we have learned, like, it is so amazing, even like to objectify that the case is getting better on like some periosteal injuries and things like that. But really, I mean, it is a diagnostic tool besides a treatment tool.
Not only that too, I think it always shocks me too of the, maybe the periphery or like the peripheral areas that are creating the symptoms locally. So doing the shockwave outside of the location of complaint gives you a lot of, it gives me a lot of it makes me feel better about treating peripherally, because there's a lot of times like distally or proximally that there's some other things that are causing the symptoms locally. So I think that is like a huge confidence builder for myself too, of working. I know, like, soft tissue wise, not only am I doing shockwaves there, but now I got to do something up here as well.
Yeah. And there's a lot of school and there's a lot of schools of thought. And then there's a lot of research to show fascia, right? So anytime we've had an injury, anytime we've had a surgery, all of that stuff, if you use the shockwave, I can free up that fascia in that area so that we can get full range of motion back to that area. So there's a lot of reasons to use it, but a diagnostic tool I like to say that the shockwave and the laser both, I'll know right away if your pain is not decreased and you're not increasing your range of motion. Or a perfect example for me, I was involved in a really bad car accident 20 years ago, but I had a really bad episode 6 years ago where I was on the road and I had to go into the emergency and get an injection so that I could actually drive home. I couldn't move. I couldn't bend over at all to even touch my shins. And they did one shockwave treatment on me for 4 minutes, and I could put my hands on the ground with zero pain. So it just freed up that. Say that again?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry to interrupt this episode, guys. Hope you're enjoying it. Real quick, we have an amazing, amazing opportunity. The DNS World Congress is coming to Chesterfield, Missouri this June 14th through the 16th, 2024. If you guys attended our NDS or our Neurodynamics Congress, you know that this is something that's very close to Brett and I's heart, something that we are going to keep doing and keep doing and keep doing. So this year's Congress is all about DNS, dynamic neuromuscular stabilization. This is literally like looking into the ocean, as Brett says. This is the lens that we look through each and every one of our patients with. And this is going to be an amazing opportunity because Pavel is back in town. So the originator, the creator of DNS, Pavel Kolash, is coming to the States for the first time in 5 or 6 years. I don't even know how long it's been. He's bringing along with him Elena Kobosova, which is literally the backbone of DNS. She's one of the most underrated neurologists in the world. So we're super excited to hear from her. Marcella Safarova, if you haven't heard her speak, she is literally the queen of pediatrics and musculoskeletal health. We also are going to have almost every single UNS instructor at the Congress who's going to be speaking. It's going to include demos, lectures, hands-on. We're going to have, as always, a get-together afterwards with your chance to talk to these guys face-to-face and have a couple drinks with them. This is going to be a great, great opportunity. There's also, it's a great price too, especially for students. It's only $4.99. So be sure to use the code DNSstudent to get your discount on that. For more information or if you have questions, go to gestaltedu.com/DNS-Congress. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yeah. It just freed up that scar tissue and adhesions that I've had for years from the accident, you know, playing sports all my life and doing different things like that. But it freed that up to immediately. And I couldn't touch my toes before the injury, by the way. And then all of a sudden I have my hands on the ground. So
we become close with Antonio Stecco. Do you know, for the fascial manipulation group? And they're actually utilizing... Yeah, oh yeah.
So their whole purpose is fascial manipulation points, and they've actually published a couple studies that show shockwave can change the fascial manipulation points, similar to hands-on treatment. And so, it's becoming more embedded in the soft tissue therapies, which is really cool too.
Sorry to interrupt you. We're kind of on a delay. I don't mean to keep doing that. Yeah, you're good.
No, it's perfectly fine. I mean, I'm here more to answer questions for you guys. So just let me know what you want to know.
Yep. So I think the next degree, I guess, would be similar to the shock or to the laser. Like you said, the 4 minutes. How do you suggest? One of the things that we were doing is we were just going to the patient's tolerance basically to start, and you think we thought we were actually crazy people. You couldn't believe that people are actually allowing us to do that. And so, like, talk us through. I know you kind of educated us initially on, but what's kind of like your education initially on one using it as almost like a scanning tool and then working your way up through that kind of a progression up until the point of the patient getting that bitter beer face?
You mean what am I discussing with the patient? Like, yep. I would with the laser?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah. I always just like to tell them that the shockwave is a jackhammer. The purpose of the shockwave is to do damage in the tissue, mm-hmm. right? I am going to do damage so that the body will do what? It will start to heal itself. It's going to help with vascularization. That's why, the cells are going to expand. They're going to be able to get more blood flow, which is the reason why they're using it for erectile dysfunction. But even in the tissue, any tissue that you're treating, that is going to happen. You're going to be able to get more blood flow. It is going to help with a pain component, but ultimately it's just freeing up that area. So I tell them, if you will allow me to use the jackhammer, your body is going to reward you with healing.
Right. And what about dosage as far as treatment goes? Similar to the laser, different?
Yeah.
Times a week, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Shockwave is only one time a week.
Okay.
The purpose of that is that, again, you are damaging tissue. So you need to allow that tissue to heal. I absolutely am a component, or I love putting the shockwave and the laser together because they're doing two different things,
right?
And they're doing both of them very well. So I'm getting a photochemical response from the laser, and then I'm doing physical damage to the tissue, so it elicits the body's healing response. So combining them together, it's a wonderful 1-2 punch.
And would you, you would keep that shockwave once a week? So let's say if you know that you're going to combine those two together, maybe you would do the shockwave laser both together on a Monday, and then you would continue your laser treatment Tuesday and then Thursday. Or is that a different conversation when you're combining the two together?
Yeah, if I'm combining them both together, then typically I'll do the shockwave and then I'll follow that up immediately with the laser. Mm-hmm. And then within 48 hours, I like to hit them with the laser again.
Perfect.
Again, if I'm using them in combination of each other, because I know that I need to get rid of this, then I'm using the laser as it's just speeding up the healing process.
Right.
And of course, it definitely feels good when you use the laser after the shockwave.
Yeah.
So it's a great tool to allow both of them to work together. But I'm under the principle that if we're going to be using it in a 1-2 punch, then I use the shockwave once. That would obviously be my first thing mm-hmm. that I did for the treatment. I'd follow that up immediately with the laser, and then I'd follow up with the laser again 48 hours later, and then repeat.
Perfect. What about the whole radial focal debate? I mean, if you're around people that are using shockwave, you're almost thinking you need to have two different shockwaves. And shockwaves aren't cheap, so that would be great in a perfect world. So which one do you recommend, and what are the two? What's the differences and
application maybe between the two?
I may not be a huge fan. I may not have a whole lot of raving lunatic fans after I make this statement. So I'm going to make the statement because it's just just how I feel. As far as I'm concerned, the only reason why I'm buying a focused shockwave is if I'm treating ED or plantar fasciitis. Otherwise, I'm going with just a radial pressure wave device. There's a bunch of them out there. I won't name them, but there's a bunch of different products. Ultimately, what I'm looking for is that they have a range of bars, and then they have a range of frequency. So the bar, again, is the amount of pressure, and then the frequency to allow me to duplicate any of the research that's been done, right? So it doesn't matter what I'm not trying to promote any particular product, but I am saying it needs to at least have this criteria, because
gotcha.
I have run across some products that don't have at least that basic criteria. And then I say, okay, well, we're not, you know, if you want to achieve this, you need to have at least this criteria. But again, I probably just lost a whole bunch of fans, but the Focus Shockwave, although I do love it, and yes, you can use it, it is absolutely not necessary for my physical therapy, chiropractic, athletic training facilities that I go in and out of, my med spas. It's just, unless that's where you want to go. That's, and again, that's just my opinion. Shoot the messenger.
Well, I think the important point too is, you know, you said ED and plantar fasciitis. It doesn't mean you can't treat plantar fasciitis with the other machine. It's just, I think it's just more specific, right? It's more dialed in. Yeah.
Well, it's what I like to tell people is that the FDA clears devices. In that device, they can actually have approvals. So they can have FDA approval for a particular condition. Which is exactly what they've done, is they've gone after that approval with the Focus Shockwave. Gotcha. So again, they went after that FDA approval to be able to market it as, we are approved to treat this. I am, as far as applying shockwave to the tissue, you can treat a bunch of things. You just can't say that I am approved to treat that particular condition.
Got it.
And if you had 4 minutes with a plantar fasciitis case, are you going to spend 4 minutes literally on the worst spot, or are you letting that thing kind of dance around a little bit, or a little bit of both?
Yeah. So, I mean, we can go into the science about what's causing the plantar fasciitis, and we can go all the way up into the calf, and we can go down.
And we all understand that, but I'm just like, if you have 4 minutes, I mean, like, is the miracle in that you're just getting on the most painful spot and it's hammer time, or okay.
Because the reality is, where are most patients experiencing the pain from plantar fasciitis? It's going to be in the heel, directly in the heel, the back of the heel, the side of the heels, or actually in the arch. Mm-hmm. So that's where most people are experiencing the pain. I'm going to go right there. What's awesome, no different than the laser or like what we already talked about. If I get rid of pain in one area and that's not really the source of the pain, what's going to happen?
Come back.
They're going to tell me that it hurts. It's no different than when I'm using shockwave or laser, and the patient does a range of motion for me and they tell me, man, the pain is right here. After a couple of minutes of doing the treatment, the patient says, hey, it doesn't hurt here anymore. Now it hurts, or it hurts. So I'm always going to go to where they're telling me that they feel pain, and I'm going to work back. No different than, I can't even tell you how many times I've treated knees, and it always works back to the, I mean, not always. What percentage of patients end up with telling me that their back hurts? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, let's take care of the knee, and then I'll be more than happy to go there. Because now we're dealing, again, if you're looking at the whole body as a whole, I'm not trying to tell anybody they have to do anything, or I'm not trying to suggest, but I do know, after doing this for years and years and years in the clinic and working with every specialist you can imagine, when somebody has pain in a certain area, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's where it's going to end. Where I start doesn't necessarily mean that's where I end.
And that'll resonate well with our crowd.
That is literally the drum that we have been banging for the last 3 years on this podcast. So that is exactly right.
So you're working with a professional athlete. You got someone who's in the lineup tonight. Do we need to be careful of utilizing shockwave technology that day, or, you know, do you want to be really careful how you're kind of timing that out? Cause really you are kind of damaging tissue, or you haven't really noticed that to be a problem, or what's your opinion on that?
Yeah. If I'm going to use the shockwave, I mean, definitely I can use it at a I can, if they have to play tonight and I'm, you know, they're coming in and I'm treating them in the, you know, say in the like early afternoon or even, then I'm going to go at what I call less of enough to elicit a response for, but I would absolutely like to be able to get a hold of that person and then have a couple of days. Cause it, the reason why you're using Shockwave is because it takes that full week in order for that tissue to fully heal. But I, you know, we, in the real world, you're having to, you know, somebody wants to be on the court. They want to be on the field. They want to be on the ice. They want to be going. So that's another one of those really awesome examples of maybe using a little bit less power with the Shockwave, but, you know, getting them with the laser.
Right.
Because I can absolutely use that as a great combination.
Yeah. What about utilizing Shockwave for any kind of visceral problem? I mean, obviously we talked about ED and some other things, but I've done some like PubMed searches and there's not that much out there, but like if you took like the thyroid gland or like an adrenal gland or like examples in the body where there is access to these areas, is there any research? Do you have any like clinical knowledge on utilizing Shockwave for some of these other issues that we may not be thinking of besides the obvious musculoskeletal issues?
I don't have any personal experience. I can absolutely talk to a couple of my PhDs and talk to some people that are using it, what I call outside of the box type of stuff, to get you some information on that. Same thing, even with laser, you know, I do have a lot of use with using the laser for a bunch of different things like that.
Right.
Or would be utilized for something like that, even though it may be as a contraindication or precaution as far as the FDA is concerned.
The official, yeah.
I like to always say, I want to make sure that I'm within the FDA regulations of moving, but, you know, using the Shockwave, like that's something that I've just done over the last couple of years where I've expanded it in the practices where they're actually really going with the fascia and treating a bunch of different areas and actually, you know, talking to the patients about, all right, what surgeries have you had? Mm-hmm. What did you used to play? Let me go into those joints or those areas and actually start working, especially like you take an athlete who's a quarterback. My word, there's so much you can do to their shoulders to free up their shoulders because they, you know, they've been throwing, or a pitcher with their elbows or with their shoulders, or a kicker. I mean, you can start working the body from a different angle where you don't necessarily have to go and just, you know, use the jackhammer.
Right.
But you can free up that fascia and that and get a lot more movement.
And I think like metatarsal stress fractures and like the whole family of fractures, which typically I think people be a little bit scared to be, you know, be around there. But actually we've had really good results with that using the Shockwave. So we don't really need to be afraid about some of these like hairline fractures and stuff. And in fact, it actually can speed up the healing on those.
Well, and those are always going to be things that I'm going to say, hey, we just need to be aware of what the FDA is saying on those. And then is there application or uses that we've done? Because even when you're using the laser like you have right now, if I'm using it over, which we do know, obviously, it speeds up healing and up to 50% faster healing time. So we do know that it does that. But even sometimes when I'm treating hairline fractures or even broken bones, getting directly over that, it might be sensitive to them. So you might have to be north or south of the treatment of the area in order for it to do it. The same thing, you know, if you were to use the Shockwave, you might not actually be directly over, you might be around the tissue to still allow it to heal.
And then just so we have some general parameters, what's the typical bar and Hertz count that is your starting place for most things? Like what's the most typical setting that you're going to be using for bars and Hertz when you're utilizing Shockwave, just so people kind of have a ballpark idea?
Yeah, they're not even going to need me anymore. No, I'm just kidding. If you look at any of the research, you're going to be anywhere typically between 8 Hertz and, you know, 18, 20 Hertz. as far as a like a frequency. And then your bars, most all of your research are going to show like 2.5 bars is really the starting point or the kickoff point for you to start having the better results.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
Beautiful. Shock us on tell us what's coming next. I mean, I know that laser shockwave is kind of like taking over the world. I know like red light therapy seems like it's kind of coming up to the surface a little bit, but like in give us the forecast the next 5-10 years. Like what's the on the Olympics that everybody's craving over the next 5 years?
Yeah, I mean the full body bed is something that I came to market with 5 years ago. So the full body bed is a great passive modality. I like to tell people when I was creating it and trying to design the thought of a bed, it was to prevent long-term disease. If I can fight oxidative stress, then I can help the body to continue to heal and to perform, right? So, but the red light bed is a very passive modality that can be used. Patients, I mean, Joe Rogan was just talking about this yesterday. Gary, there's a bunch of different people that I follow on a regular basis, but they were just talking about how, you know, even with eyesight recovery, there's just a lot of performance. I mean, it's going to give you a lot of sleep. It's amazing with sleep, mood, performance, recovery. So there's a lot to be said with the beds. One of the things that I like the most right now that I've been playing with is radio frequency. Especially if you're a physical therapist or a massage therapist where you're touching the body, you're doing a lot of manual therapy, you can actually use the radio frequency, at least the device that I really love. You can use it with your hands or now you're actually getting the radio frequency through your hands. And it's used for everything. We have a really great protocol right now for diabetic neuropathy that's completely hands-free, that most patients are feeling something immediately in the first treatment. And it's a 10 treatment protocol. So they just do 2 times a week for 5 weeks. And it also does your aesthetics. So I kind of say that the radio frequency is the future of the all in all, because it'll do skin tightening. I'm really 97. I know I don't look that way, but you know, the radio frequency has helped me out a little bit. No, but it does skin tightening. It does cellulite. It does belly fat. It does a multitude of things from the aesthetic side also. So it has pain, neuropathy, you know, protocols and stuff that you can do, as well as the aesthetic. So it's kind of like an all-in-one tool that's out there, and it's relatively new in the United States as far as the therapeutic side. It's been used on the aesthetic side with med spas and, you know, plastic surgeons and derms for a while now.
Very cool.
I guess what everybody's going to want to know is, if we're talking about shockwave and laser, I mean, one thing we learned is, I mean, they quickly pay themselves off. So how much does a shockwave and laser cost to get into that? If you want to own one of those products, ballpark. And then, I guess the other thing would be, with all the people that you're dealing with throughout the United States, what are people typically charging for those two services?
Yeah. So my company is just based off just helping doctors to implement cash modalities. So when you're using laser or shockwave or radio frequency or light bed or whatever, it's just, they're based to be cash modalities. So as far as the return on investment, I like to just say it's very simple. This is, for each product, you're looking at a range. I mean, with the bed, you can go all the way up as high as $80,000. And with the laser, if you're into the class 4 spectrum, you're probably at $25,000 to $38,000 to get a really good quality, you know, product. And so everything's, as far as the shockwave, I actually have put together with the manufacturer, I've put together a shockwave, and that's 15,000. So you can get as low as 15,000 with the shockwave. So, but the purpose is to implement the product into the practice where you can get return on investment. So to each product is going to have its own dollar amount. I would say that most of my patients that are, or most of my clinics that are implementing shockwave, they're somewhere between $100 and $250 a treatment. So I always say that every patient is signing up for three treatments. So they have to sign up for a package, and it's somewhere between $100 to $250 a treatment. If they're doing laser, most of my high end clinics, the ones that you know love their laser and they're going with it, they're getting somewhere at least $100 a treatment. And they're typically signing them up for a package of 6 to 10 treatments. I would say that the majority of my offices, when it comes to laser, they like to stick between the $50 and $60 range. But my higher end are getting, you know, more than double that per treatment. And then the bed is a passive modality. It doesn't require any more personnel. It's run off of your front desk because it's run through a tablet. The patient just goes in there, gets undressed, gets on the bed for 10 minutes, and then they leave. And that's usually a package. Like I was just talking to one of my doctors, and she does 8 visits for $280. So they can come in 2 times a week for $280. I have a lot of offices that'll just do a straight $300, and they can come in every day that the office is open. So, nice. You know, it's obviously going to be far less, but they know that the patients are coming in there, and they can come in and get an unlimited package. And then the radio frequency, they're up as high as $300 a treatment when you're dealing with aesthetics. The neuropathy packages are 3 to 5,000. And then just treating for normal pain stuff, they're treating between 75 and 100.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
I had one more burning shockwave question. The most people's shockwaves are coming with different heads. Is that like just a small detail that's not so critical, or do you feel like the different heads are become really important depending on the case that you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely companies out there that have a wide number of attachments. What I like to say is that if I'm trying to get pinpoint, then I'm going to stay to a pretty small head. And then if I'm actually doing fascia work, or if I was actually trying to work with, let's say I'm working with an athlete and they want to, you know, especially using laser and shockwave to be more preventative for hamstrings, which we know is a very common thing, especially in sprinters or, you know, football players and stuff. So we can actually be preventative. We can prevent stuff so we can do treatments for them. And then in that particular instance, I'm going to definitely want a wider or a bigger circumference because I want to cover a larger tissue. I don't need to go as great a depth of tissue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What about, we've been messing around with using the shockwave with movement. So like in those hamstring cases, actually moving through their provocative movements and things like that. Are we idiots for doing it? Is there something there? What's your thoughts on that?
No, absolutely. I mean, I personally am more of a sit and play.
Yeah.
If I am going to be doing more of a motion type stuff, I absolutely do a lot more with the radio frequency because I can use it with bracelets. So I can actually really isolate. I can really isolate a certain area. I can actually put electrodes directly over the belly of anything that I want to treat, or I can use bracelets. Say I wanted to treat like the whole leg area.
Sure.
So that gives me more of a functional movement, especially if I wanted to use the bracelet so that I'm using it through my hands, because now I can touch wherever I'm touching, I'm actually applying. So it gives me some dynamic responses when I want to dig deep. And there's nothing wrong whatsoever with using the shockwave that way. Sure. I personally have most of my stuff is the sit and play because I want to see them sweat.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
I truly love the shockwave because I say it's the best part of my day. It's like, I'm going to take all of my, everything that's happening in my day, and I'm just going to push it through the shockwave right to you. And now I feel it.
That's right. That's perfect. Just displaced anger. We all got it. We all got to find our way to do it. There's nothing wrong with that.
But so. I feel much better after they get the shockwave treatment.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yep, Jeff, thank you so much for educating us. Number one, give us your spiel here, man. So obviously, jagmedicalsolutions.com is your website, but how can people get a hold of you? What's the best way? If they're interested, asking questions, if they have devices, all those types of things.
Yeah. And like I said, I'll help them with any, I mean, even if they have a product, then you just need somebody to actually say, okay, this is how you're going to utilize it better. I just had an office in Wyoming call me because they had the exact same scenario where they had purchased a laser from somebody. And I told them it's a good laser and they weren't having any warranty issues. The laser was working perfectly fine. So I said, yeah, let's utilize this laser to the best of its ability. So I'll help people with whatever that they have, but Jag Medical Solutions is my website, but Jeff, J-E-F-F at jagmedicalsolutions.com. Or if they just want to shoot me a text and say, hey, I heard you and I'm just interested in talking to you. We've been looking at adding something to our practice. You know, can we sit down and talk with you and see what's going to be best? And they can text me at 941-441-6131.
Beautiful.
And yes, I live in beautiful Sarasota, Florida. And that's the reason why I'm not there today, because it was 82.
I think that's the fifth time you've said that. Yeah. We get it.
Yeah, well,
you did say you traveled. Where'd you say you went to, Huntsville or somewhere? Yeah, which isn't in Florida.
No, come on.
No, oh, no, no. No, I travel the whole United States.
Don't get weird.
I travel the whole United States. There's just certain areas I don't travel during this time of year. And actually, I just got smacked in the face up in Florence, Alabama, and Huntsville, Alabama, because I'm putting a bed in Florence, Alabama, and I just put a laser in Huntsville. But they, when I got there, it was 21 degrees, and it dropped down to 9 degrees.
Oh, geez, so
you deserve that.
I actually saw snow, so that's really freaky.
I love it. I love it, Jeff. Well, I'll make sure I put your email and your phone number in the show notes. Please reach out to him. Guys, it's really transformed the way we've utilized these products, number one, with Jeff's guidance. And Jeff's just, he's kind of one of us is how I feel like with Jeff. So you're not salesy by any means. And you're very upfront on making sure that the product fits what you're trying to accomplish, which I think is so rare to find in this kind of this time in this era when it comes to medical devices, such as the things that we're doing, especially for chiropractors. You know, spending 30 grand on a laser is a big investment. It is not an easy thing to do. And so making sure you understand how to use it will make sure that you can actually get a return on investment, which I think is vitally and vitally important. So,
and I think Ken, the guy that we started the conversation with, he was originally with the Orioles and now he helps Rick with some of the Pirates stuff. Were they, you know, the teams have access to everything,
right?
So you almost need somebody to say, like, this is what we actually need. This is, you know,
yeah, exactly,
can be useful. And I think Jeff does a really good job with that. So
yep. So thanks again, Jeff. Thanks for taking the time, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys for the time. And even in the athletic training rooms that I go into, they have everything and they're using nothing.
It's shocking. It's classic.
It's shocking to me how many pieces of equipment that they have in there. And then I'll be like, hey, you know, why aren't you using this? They're like, nobody's been there to show me. And then I'll spend 2 days just in there and then going through each product to just show them. And unfortunately, you have turnover. So then now they've left and you got a whole new group coming in there. But
and then you're back to ice packs and heat, right?
Diathermy. Oh, we love diathermy. So anything that and you guys know, you have my number. So if you guys want to actually just sit down over a lunch or something and pick, you know, different ways that we can even increase what you're doing right now, I'll be more than happy to go over the protocols for that too.
Well, we talked about part two.
I will come there.
Yeah, yes. Part two, come to St. Louis. We'll give you 10 cases to work on, and we'll let everybody kind of watch it, and that would be a great learning moment. So let's count on.
Yeah, no, that'll be a lot of fun.
All right.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff, appreciate it, guys. All right. Well, good luck with patients, everybody. And don't just shut the door on passive modalities.
Not yet.
So we're definitely, there's something here, and we're having a lot of success with it. And Jeff's been a big part of that. And so thank you again to Jeff. Be sure to check out all of his website, JAG Medical Solutions, and we'll link it all below. All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Gestalt Education Show. If you liked it, share it, subscribe to it, send it to your friends, send it to someone that needs to hear this message. We really want everyone to be able to tune in and get the best clinical advice that they can, which we're hoping that we're giving to you with these special guests. So if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us, or if you have any suggestions on upcoming conversations, let us know. For a list of our upcoming courses, we're adding them all the dang time. So go to gestaltedu.com, click on courses, and they'll all be right there for you. All right, have a good day.